Okay, so we're back to Gittin, Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph. Alright, so now it's a very interesting Gemara that says La'achar Petiroso she Rabbi Eliezer. After Rabbi Eliezer died, Nichnasu Arba Zekenim Leheshiv Al Devarav. So four elders came to refute him. Eluhain, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. Maybe he was at the Seder, right? Sounds like the story from the Haggadah. So they are Mesubin and Bnei Brak. So it says like this. So it's, I mean, that itself is fascinating, isn't it? After Rabbi Eliezer passed, they decided to get together to refute him. I mean, they really did not like this position. They did not like this shita. And they wanted to get rid of it. Okay.
Is this just a circumstantial thing that the disciples made, or is this just
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. What's that? Okay, so anyway, So they each had an argument against his shita. So let's go through it. We're going to have to go through it a few times, okay? Twice. First, the Gemara gives the summary of all the arguments, and then the Gemara goes in detail each argument and the problem with each argument, okay? So it says like this. first up to bat was who? Rabbi Tarfon. Nene Rabbi Tarfon va'omar. Okay, so what does it mean, nene? So Rashi says, Horim kolo, he raised his voice. Kol aniya haksuva b'torah haramas kolhi. It's a good yesod to keep in mind. We people usually think the word aniya means answer. But it doesn't. It just means raising of the voice. Okay? So, I mean, so there's a nice drush. I don't want to remove a nice drush, but there's a nice drush from the Rav that says Vatan lohem Miriam Vatomar, right? Miriam says Vatan lohem Miriam by the Ibshalach after the Oz Yashir, right? She did her own shira with the instruments. So he says, what does it mean? What did she answer? So he said, what does it mean Vatan? So he says, it means she answered. Who was she answering? So she was answering the ones who beforehand were doubtful that the events would occur. And it says she brought the instruments, those women, the Noshim Tzidkanios, brought the instruments because they were so sure there would be a salvation afterwards. They prepared for the celebration already ahead of time. So that's what he wants to say, Vatan, like it was an answer, it was a retort to the ones who had doubted originally. But the plain pshat apparently is just she raised her voice. So over here, it was Rabbi Tarfon said, Hare sheholcha zuvenises le'ochiv shel zeh shenesra olav. So what is the story here? The story is like this. Let's say this woman, I know it's been a long time, so what are we talking about again? We're talking about a man gives his wife a get, and he excludes somebody from the Gershon. Okay? Either, according to our Mishnah, he says, Chutz miploni, or according to the Braisa, he says, Almanash lo tenasi liploni. Okay? And we'll see later on, the Gemara goes through for each one, each Tana, how was he learning? Was he learning Chutz or was he learning Almanas? Okay, so we just have to be a little flexible in our reading of it now. But basically, Rabbi Eliezer says the get is good, and the Rabbanan say it's no good. Okay? So now they're trying to argue why Rabbi Eliezer's idea is wrong. Okay, so he says, Rabbi Tarfon says, let's play this out. The man gives his wife a get, and he is almanas, let's say, that she doesn't marry Plony. Okay? Or to the exclusion of Plony, right? Yeah. And now she goes ahead and what? And marries his brother. Okay? So the get is, let's say it's chutz. It doesn't really matter for us right now. Let's say it's chutz. It's chutz miploni. Okay? So now vis-a-vis Ploni, we can call her, we'll say there's an isser. Right, Isser to marry Plony. And she goes ahead and marries his brother. Okay? So now the Isha, she marries his brother. Okay? Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now what happens? Good. Continue.
Brother dies.
So now, right. This will be also. She's also the plum. So now if the brother dies, so she should be chayiv yibum to Plony. But because of his tanai, because of the condition of the get, she will not be able to do yibum. Okay? So what's he saying? So who cares? So he says, Hol haresha holcha zuvenises leochiv shel zeh shenesra olav umeis below bonim. Right, Rashi haresha holcha zu achar girusha, and she marries the brother shel osu ish shenesra olav begirushin. Through this girushin, she was also to him, and he dies without children. Lo nimtza zeh ochar davar min haTorah. Doesn't it turn out that what? That what is Oker Davar Min haTorah?
The Tanai.
The Tanai is Oker Davar Min haTorah. What does it mean? It's Oker Davar Mitzvos Yibum Sheasurulis Yabem Lo Halamad Tashen Zekrisus. Why? Shein Zekrisus Amura B'Torah Shelo Amra Torah Krisus HaOker Davar Min haTorah. So what is the nature of this argument? What's the nature of this argument? Let's just try to get a flavor of the argument. What's the nature of this argument? That what? Don't make the mistake that he's learning Croesus like we've been learning Croesus, right? It's not the Croesus of Rabbi Yossi of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's not the Croesus of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What does it mean? Ainzu Croesus. It means this can't be the get that the Torah, this cannot be a get that the Torah condones. This can't be what the Torah has in mind when it says get. Why? Because it destroys part of the Torah itself. It just doesn't make sense to say that there's an instrument of halacha that removes other halachos. It's just like a sense argument, no? It's not like a proof.
It creates a contradiction.
It like creates some contradiction. There's no, what's that?
It's some absurd thing
that's going to, in some case, it's going to remove, it's going to destroy part of the very system that it's a part of. Doesn't make sense to say there's like a self-defeating mechanism in the Torah that gives you gerushin and removes yibum. Okay, it's an interesting kind of an argument, but it's more like an argument, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next one? Rabbi Yos Nena Rabbi Yos Yeglili Varmer. So now he comes. He spoke up. Heichan Matzinu Asher Lazeh Mot Lazeh. Where do we find such a thing? They all have the same type of an argument, like a reasonableness argument. Where do you find such a thing that someone is mutter to one, usher to one, and mutter to another? Ha usher, usher lakolva, mutter, mutter lakol. It's not natural. If you're usher, you should be usher to everybody. If you're mutter, you should be mutter to everybody. The whole thing just doesn't have a certain symmetry, doesn't have a simplicity, doesn't have a beauty to it. I don't know what, right? Doesn't have a halachic, doesn't seem in line with other things. Is she mutter or is she asr? Well, she's asr to him because he's excluded from the get, but she's mutter to everybody else. That just doesn't, it's just not an idea that makes sense. And Rabbi Eliezer had a pasuk he was darshaning. It's like Sajigon says, certain things you can't prove, even with certain things are just considered impossible, and no amount of proof is going to be good to establish them. I can give you a notarized deed on the Atlantic Ocean, but it's not going to convince anybody that I own it. Right? I think that's one of his examples. And if you, right? That's like people say, if you believe that, I have a bridge to sell you. So there's certain things that just... But it's an amazing kind of a thing. In other words, what these Tanayim are saying is that they have such a fine-tuned sense of what halacha can and cannot be that the pasuk does not mean it, that they are sure the pasuk cannot be interpreted that way. Right? It's like a meta-halachic argument. In other words, they're coming from a position of saying, we have a knowledge of what types of halachic structures can and cannot exist, and this simply can't exist. I will see. So that's Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah of Amar Krisus, Dova Harkores Beino Leveino. So that's different, right? That's different. That's not what the other ones meant. That's not like, that's not what the other ones were saying when they said, halamadta she'ein zeh krisus. They're just saying, they're concluding this cannot be the get that the Torah talks about because it runs into other problems. He's saying it's a problem in the very concept of krisus. And this is the idea that we've been operating with several times already. That's Hare Akati Agida Be Le Oser Al Oso Ha'ish. Like, that's like the get that has a tie on it. But what is the argument over here? It's not a physical tie to him, but he's saying halachically there's a tie to him. Now, in terms of this man, then she always is bound to her husband vis-a-vis this man. So that's not a real separation. There's a real figurative string attached here. Right? Okay. In other words, that's an intrinsic idea within the concept of gerushin, whereas the other ones were saying, they're not saying it can't be an entity of gerushin per se, they're just saying it doesn't work out, it doesn't have the general quality of a halachic structure. Okay, next. Nene Rabbi Kiva Omar. Okay, this is a little complicated, right? Hare Shaholcha Zu. That's Rabbi, right? Vinises Lechad Minashuk. Vahayu La Bonim Vinis Armila Onis Garsha. Okay, so he says, you're going to have a major problem. What's your problem? I'll tell you another case. She goes ahead and she marries a regular guy that she's allowed to marry, right? And then she has children with him. And then she is widowed or divorced from him. V'omda v'nises l'zesh en ne'esra olav. And then she marries the guy that she was usher to. Lo nimsa get bottle. So now doesn't it turn out that the get that he gave her was bottle? So this is obviously an almanas type of a case, right? Uboneha mamzerim. And now, boneha, Rashi says, minha imtsoi. Lo nimsa get bottle lemafreya. Shari omar lo almanas shlo tenasi leploni. So he said, you can marry, you're divorced on condition you don't marry Ploni. Then she gets married to Anacher and has children. And then she goes and marries Ploni. So now it turns out all of the children, min ha'em tso'i, are mamzerim. Halamada shein zeh krisus. There you go. That shows you that that's not possible. It's not possible. What's his argument? And this one is right. So the first argument was you can't have a part of the Torah that's soser another part of the Torah. Second, it's going to be ochre another part of the Torah. So the second one is that it doesn't make it has a certain inconsistency that halacha doesn't have. And this argument is what? It's not darkei noam. I mean, it's not. It's not nice. It's not right. It's not proper. It's going to cause a big takala. A mitzvah should be a tikkun, not a takala. Mm-hmm. It's going to turn out that if you're going to tell me get has this ability, then a get is a dangerous, dangerous thing that can destroy people's lives. It could destroy Ishus. Mamzeris is a pagam in Ishus. A get really should be an institution of within Ishus, of how to navigate within the Isurim of Ishus, remove the Isurashus Ish to prevent Mamzeris. Now you're going to tell me, no, there'll be a way to give a get that what? Now this is the key point though. That she is allowed to get married, and then it turns out it brings about mamzeris. I mean, is that the greatest argument? She shouldn't have done it. Personal responsibility. But no, just that possibility, he says, cannot be in a get. A get should not even have the potential to create mamzeris. That's not what the ikar of a get is. The ikar of a get is to remove this type of a problem, yeah. Right? It's not bad, not bad. Of course, I'm just saying it, you know, facetiously. Of course, I'm just saying from my perspective, I'm starting to see it a little bit. Not that in any way I'm judging Rabbi Akiva's halachic intuition. Okay, should we do one more? This last one is a doozy, right? Should we hold off on the last one? We don't really need it right now. Did you do it?
We did.
Okay, why not? Dover acher. No. Okay, dover acher. Hare shahoya zesha nesra love kohen. This is a wild one. Let's say the chutz guy was a kohen. Right? Let's say the chutz guy was a kohen. Umeis hamigarish. Very interesting. So she says you are divorced from me and mutu to everybody except for Ploni hakohen. And then what happens? Then he dies. Now what's her status? Strange status. Lo nimtzais. Doesn't it turn out like this? Almona etzlo vigrusha etzel kol adam. Doesn't it turn out? It's amazing, right? That in turn, that vis-a-vis the original husband, vis-a-vis the kohen, she's an almona. And vis-a-vis everybody else, she's a grusha. Right? Now here's the isha. Here's the Isha. So here's the Kohen was the Chutz guy. And this is everybody else. So now, so you're saying now when the husband dies, the Chutz means they were still married. The chutz means she still has an isserashus ish vis-a-vis this kohen. But they go so far as to say that it's like she is still married. That's what's interesting. And then when the husband dies, so So now what? She'll be an almona to him. And a grusha to everyone else, because she was a grusha the whole time to everyone else. So she was a grusha right away to everyone else. So now, can a kohen marry an almana? Of course a kohen can marry an almana. But will he be married to, will he be able to marry this woman? No. Why? So that's isha grusha meisha. So this is in Rabbi Eliezer's way of thinking, right? Trying to show him that it's going to work out, it's going to be impossible. So he says, Nimtzeis almana etzlo ugrusha etzel kol adam. Rashi, lo nimtzeis almana etzel kohen zeh dahal legabei lo igarsha. Tough, tough, huh? He didn't divorce her. In regards to this kohen, they did not get divorced. He still sends them happy anniversary cards. But grusha etzel kol adam, v'al yedei tzad gerushin sheba osro hakosav olav kidamar leil grusha meisha levada osro lekahuna. And we know for a fact that in this situation, where she's an almana to the kohen and a grusha to everybody else, the Torah says she's asura to the kohen. Why is she a suva to the Kohen? Simply because she has a tzad gerushin to other people. So the tzad gerushin to other people gives her the iser grusha to the Kohen. Okay. Now, kal vachomer. Uma gerusha shehi kala. The iser of a grusha to a kohen is light compared to eishes ish. So if by an iser kala, a light iser, asura b'shvil tzad gerushin shel ba, that's simply because she has a tzad gerushin, she's usher to the kohen. Eishes ish shehi chamura lo kol shekein. Right, Rashi. Vare dvarim kavachomer, she'ata lomar emenu shelifnei misas hamegareish tehei asura lakol mipnei tzad ishus sheba. So now we'll work it out. Forget about the kohen. Now we'll put in a regular person, right? Instead of kohen, put in a regular person. So to a regular person. Now we replicate it. To a regular person, okay? We just have a regular plony here. And everybody else. So now to plony, she's an Ashes Ish. Right? And to everybody else, she's a Grusha. So now it's going to work the other way. So it goes like this. I'll prove to you now that she should be usher to everybody before the Megaresh dies. Because she has a tzad eishes ish to one person. You can keep him as a coin, doesn't matter. Uma iser grusha shehukal. Delesa ella bilav ba'alma. But it's a grusha, it's a weak iser, it's a light iser. It's only a lav. Matzinu she asura al kohen zeh. Shehi almona etzlo. Mipnei tzad gerushin sheba. So the light iser of grusha to a kohen, which is a simple lav, is applied to this kohen who she's not a grusha to because she's a grusha to others. Okay. So then, Eishes Ish, Shehi Chamura, Eino Din, Shete Oser, Eitzel Mi, Shehi Tiru, Etzlo, Mipnat Ishes Sheba. So now the Iser Eishes Ish, which is much stronger, much more chomer than the Iser of Gerushin, of Grusha, should make her Oser to everybody else because of the Tzad of Eishes Ish that she has the plony. In other words, just like this tzad gerushin asered the kohen, this tzad eishes ish should aser everybody else. Right? That's right. His argument. That's a sophisticated argument. Right? I mean, this is a logical argument. Kal v'chomer now is a logical argument. Let's just think it through, though. What's the argument? In other words, he's saying that you see from the Kohen that there's a shame grusha that's chal on her. There's a shame grusha that's chal on her. And that even this Kohen has to recognize. He has to recognize that she is a grusha. It's not a grusha, it's not an issur of a grusha vis-a-vis him, it's just an issur of grusha. So she has an objective status of grusha. In other words, it doesn't matter to whom she's a grusha, she has a status of a grusha. So I should say the same thing by Eish es Eish. She has a status of Eish es Eish. But isn't he just basically saying, like, this whole thing just doesn't work, basically? I mean, he's saying that what? It's a funny argument, right? In the sense that he's just negating his very... He's just saying it's just impossible. He's negating the very thing he's saying that he can do. In other words, he's saying, he's basically saying, you see, there's no such thing as a relative status. He's embracing Rabbi Yossi Aglili a little bit, right? Asr lezeh and mut lezeh. Says there's no such thing as there's only a universal. You see from the Cohen case that there's only a universal status. Even if you're going to learn the Cohen case the way you want to learn it, you're going to come out a contradiction to the very idea that you're trying to prove. Okay, anyway, we're focusing on, we're going to focus right now on a bit of a technical issue in Rabbi Akiva's first side, right? Omda v'nises lezesh nesralov. Is that Rabbi Akiva? Yeah. Okay, so let's take a look at the Tosafot over here. I mean, the Ran sums up Tosafot too. You want to just take a look at the Ran? We could do just the Ran. It's fine. Let's just take a look at the Ran.
I did not get Tosafot.
Well, yeah. The key to the Tosafot is knowing when to stop. Okay. Okay, so it's like this. V'im toma, let's just pick it up in the middle. Heyach yehei get bottle. Says Rabbi Akiva's whole argument is that this will result in a bittle of the get and the bonim being mamzerim from the emtsoi. But the Ran says, look, how is that really ever going to happen? How is it ever really going to happen? Let's draw a timeline. Let's do a timeline here. So he says over here, he gives the get. Right? The get. Now what happens? Then she marries, right? Nises Acher, right? As Nises Acher, and then Ponim, and then what? And then she's Nises Ploni, right? So he's saying that this get was almanas shalo, that you don't do this, right? So So this status is Grusha. And this status is Eshasish. In other words, which path, whatever path she takes. So up till here, she's good. She's a Grusha. She marries Ploni. But then when she marries him, it turns out she's an Eshasish. Ah! Their mom's Arab, got that. But the problem is, how can she marry Ploni if she's an Eshasish? Ah, so she's not an Eshasish. So then, right?
Catch 22.
Now, whenever she's Nisei's Ploni, then we'll say back to here, she was an Eshasish at the giving.
It's like
was she a Grusha at the giving or an Eshasish at the giving? Well, it depends if she's Nisei's Ploni or not.
Right?
What?
After the giving?
Here's the giving of
the
get.
What's her status after the giving?
What's the status after the giving?
Depends on whether she later marries Ploni.
Depends on whether she later marries Ploni. So that's Rabbi Akiva's argument. She'll be divorced. She'll be allowed to marry Acher. Be allowed to have children. But then what's going to happen is she marries Ploni. And then that's going to Lemafreya make her an Eshes Ish from the giving of the get.
Right, that's Rabbi Akiva's argument.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And therefore, it is. And therefore, the children will be mamzerim, because you can't marry an Eshasish.
Meaning,
can Acher have a nesuin?
Which condition is he questioning? Well, how could we talk
about? He's questioning this one.
Oh, okay, that's
right. Mm-hmm. He's saying, but look, the very same reason why she's becoming an Eshasish over here, because we say Lemafreya, she was an Asha. I mean, these children are Mamzerim, because Lemafreya, she was an Eshasish because she married when she did the Nesuin. And if she's a married woman, she can't have the Nesuin to Acher. Yeah, but then she can't have the Nesuin to Ploni either.
Right.
So how could she ever violate the Tanai via Nesuin when Nesuin can only be done to a non-Ashes, to a woman who's a Grusha? So how does that work? Mazel Tov, and then what? And then it turns out, having the Nesuin makes the Nesuin impossible. So basically, it's impossible to have Nesuin. We can only say it's an impossibility. Because if she, let's say at the moment that he gives her the ring and he takes her under the chuppah, so she was a Grusha. That was fine.
The second it was.
But if you're going to tell me it's Chal, then that means she wasn't an Eshes Ish, Almanas was doing.
Okay.
Right? Then it turns out she wasn't an Eshes Ish when he took her into the chuppah. So then he never violated the Tanai. Strange world. I mean, let's just read the Ron. That's their problem. V'im tomar v'heyach yehe get batul v'neha mamzerim v'arei eina yecholo la'avor al tanai. She can't violate the tanai. Why can't she violate the tanai? Shereim niseis lezeh shene'esra olav Nimtza get bottle of ain kedushin tovsim ba v'nimtza she'i efshar la shetinase. In other words, if the fulfillment of the Tanai, which is mevatel the get, is only possible if the get is kayam, then you can't at the same time have the, then it's impossible to fulfill that Tanai. I shouldn't say fulfill, to violate. Why? Because the violation of the Tanai is going to remove the very condition that's necessary to violate the Tanai. Because you can only violate the Tanai if she's not married. Right? That's the only way you can possibly violate the Tanai, is if she's not married. Right? So then it's impossible, but violating the Tanai itself will turn her into a married woman. So it's impossible to do the violation of the Tanai that itself needs that will remove the very possibility of violating the Tanai.
Why do we need the Nisei Sakura?
An impossible thing. No, it's just logic. It's a logical circle, and logical circles don't exist. So this Tanai doesn't exist. Why can't we just say it that way? Right? Do logical circles exist? No. So effectively, he said a non-Tanai. Because the only way for this Tanai to be fulfilled is if it wasn't fulfilled. Now, can you have something both fulfilled and unfulfilled at the same time? No. So it's just an impossibility. Scrap it and call it bottle. How do you treat it like a thing?
It's not even a question of Rabbi Akiva, really. It's a question on this whole thing.
I mean, Rabbi Akiva's...
disproved to Rabbi Elazar doesn't make any sense, no?
Yeah, I mean, he should just say it's just an intrinsic question on Rabbi Elazar, you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also on Rabbi Akiva, too.
But it shows you that Rabbi Akiva thought it doesn't have a problem with that. That's what's bothering him. Why he does not have a problem with it. Okay, so it takes a genius like Tosfos to come up with the simplest answer in the world. He's dead. So that's what it says. It says, Tirtzu batosvos dimishkachas lo bishanises la'achar misas ha-megarish. V'nimtzu get batlu v'nem merishon shebechaye ha-baal Mamzerin. So we forgot about something. That you only need to get as long as he's alive. Right? In other words, you only need to get as long as he's alive. So only while he's alive will the effectiveness of the get be the determinant of whether or not she can marry. And we only are stuck in our logical problem when she needs the effectiveness of the get to allow her to marry, because the Tanai is removing the effectiveness of the get. Okay? But if she can marry even without the get, okay, then what? Then you don't have this logical problem. So then it would turn out like this. Let's say he dies here. This is where he dies.
The original Baal.
So then it's going to turn out that she was an Ashes Ish up to here. She was an Ashes Ish. She can't be an Ashes Ish past the death of the husband. That's simply impossible. So let's say the husband, they get divorced year 2000. She marries Acher 2001. The husband dies 2002. And she marries Plony 2003, so it'll turn out she was married until 2002. Why isn't she still married? Because he's dead! Right? She did violate her Tanai, but we don't need the get for her to violate her Tanai. We don't need the get to be good to allow her to violate the Tanai. The only contradiction is when I have to say the get has to be good for her to violate the Tanai, which makes the get no good, so she can't violate the Tanai. But since he dies, even if he never gave her a get, she could remarry. Okay?
But we still look at the Tanai in place.
The Tanai, now the Tanai will not be butl since there's a way for it to be mekuyam. Since the Tanai can be fulfilled.
No, but I mean after she dies, you still look at that Tanai as being in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Tanai never ends. This was a get on the condition you don't do this action. His lifetime, is whether he lives or dies, has nothing to do with that. If he dies, as a matter of fact, it's the only way it can happen. But when he dies and she gets married, it turns out this was not a get. But this not being a get will only go till the end of his life. Will only have an effect at the end of his life, which was not necessary for her to get married.
But didn't we say that Tanai has to have some sort of end?
That is not according to Rabbi Elazar.
Okay. And even if it would be, so the Tanai's not dependent on him, it'd be dependent on the Plony. Even if you would
That's
say
true. That's true. Very good.
Right.
I mean, that's a machlokas and Rishonim we'll have to get into, but yes, that's a good point. Excellent point. So that's the simple, straight, rings true answer. Okay? Now, I have two more answers. Did you get to the two more answers?
That's the Ramban.
The Ramban? Okay. So the Ramban is one, is also not bad. The old Ramban is also interesting. Let's see. V'chi aminan v'avar v'nises lav mishum de'ika, oh, I'm sorry. There are two. V'chi aminan, it's a little bit of a tangent. V'chi aminan v'avar v'nises, what does it mean she violated and got married? Lav mishum de'ika avera v'nisuin halalu, El the Kevin Shaakshav he Osalam Afreya bi also bias is no subanam zerim shapim mikri avera. Okay. Yeah, why is he bringing this in over here?
Because if he
died, good. Right, I mean he has to explain the lashon of Avra. Okay. Avra means it renders what she did before an Avera. Varamban zal tirates dechi omar lo shalotinasi. When he said, "Don't marry Ploni," lav nisuin gemurin ka'omar. So he doesn't want to answer like Tosis, that it's talking about after the Baal dies. He says, even when the Baal is alive, she can violate the Tanai. How? Because when he said, "Don't marry Ploni," he didn't mean an effective nisuin. He didn't mean a nesuin gemurin. Sherei iefshar. Ella shelo tehe niseis lo biderech nesuin. Hilkach afa pish ein ha nesuin nesuin gita boto. Sherei ovra altana. Strange idea. So what is he saying, just halachically speaking? What does he mean, it's not a nisuin gemurin? What is it? What is it? Attempted nisuin. Don't pretend to get married to this guy. What does he mean? What does the husband have in mind when he's saying this? What do you think? Yeah. In other words, he says, lo tehe nises lo. Yeah. I mean, up to now, we're assuming, for instance, that what? That it's not talking about almanash lo tivali, let's say. Right? Not talking about znus. So he says, I don't want you to live with this guy like a married couple. Lo tehe nises lo bederech nisuin. Hilkach, afa pish ena nisuin, gita boto. Shari ovra al tana. So in other words, we'll have to think a little more about Ramban. But in terms of the derech of the Ramban, what's the derech of his answering this question? What's his derech over here? In other words, the problem was it's a contradiction. It's an impossibility. Tosus worked it out that it'll be possible in a certain circumstance. The Ramban doesn't want to say it means that it's possible in a certain circumstance. So that's the only legitimacy of it. So therefore what? He says you must interpret the Tanai in a way that makes it possible. You must interpret the Tanai not literally. You have to interpret the Tanai in the context of the realm of the possibilities. In other words, that's the question, it would seem, with Tosfos and the Ramban. He used the term Nises, and in terms of the get and the condition, an actual Nisuin is not intrinsically possible. In terms of the get, it's not intrinsically possible. Right? Tosa says, that's true, but that's tough luck. When he said the word nises, nises has a definition in the world, in halacha. Nises has a definition. So therefore, it's going to come out that the only eventuality, the only way for this get to be bottle is in a circumstance where actual nesuin can take place. That has to be after he's dead. But the Ramban holds, and that's really strange. I mean, I think maybe Matt was picking up on that before. Because that comes out to be at the point when you don't need the get anymore. Right? It's like a condition in the get when the get is in a certain sense not controlling her anymore. And she's not under becoming an... The bittul of the get will not make her an eshes ish anymore. Right? So it's only the condition of the get can really only come about when she wouldn't have needed the get in the first place. Right. If she would have never gotten the get, she wouldn't be any different than if she got the get, because he's already dead. But the Ramban says, apparently the Ramban doesn't like that. He doesn't like that idea to say that the interpretation of the Tanai of the get has to be only in a situation where the get itself is not relevant anymore. That's not a condition within the get. So therefore he holds, you must say that we interpret the word nises in the context of the reality of the get itself. Not nises in the general definition of nises, but nises within the possibilities of its existence as a condition in a get. And as a condition in a get, it means something that will create a shame asius ish in her. So what must it mean then? We must interpret it to mean derech nisuin. But he comes out with a strange idea, like a whole new halachic category. Is that a halachic thing? Or it's just like he's just describing a maisa. He's using the halachos of getting married to describe a maisa, like jumping up and down 10 times. Like, this is your get on the condition you don't jump up and down 10 times. Jumping up and down has no halacha consequences. Mm-hmm. But you can make that a condition in Tanai. So it's like the Ramban is saying, he's sort of stripping out from the halachic institution of Nisuin and turning it just into a stam maisa. That's what it means, it's not Nisuin Gemurin. It means it's the maisa Nisuin without the halachic effect of Nisuin. And that has to be the interpretation of the Tanai. So it's an interesting question, whether you have to keep it Lashon B'nai Adam. Nisuin Lashon B'nai Adam definitely means real Nisuin, and therefore interpret it in a condition where it's beyond the existence of the get itself. Or it has to be within the very existence of the get while she could still be an Eishes Ish. And therefore you have to interpret it into Lashon, into a new lingo adopted from from within the get itself. Okay, it's an interesting question. And the Ran has by far the most outlandish concept. So we'll have to take a look at the Ran tomorrow. Now for the Ran, he references another Gemara. You just take a quick look at that Gemara. It's pretty quick, that Gemara. The question that Gemara is a simple question. What if a man says to a woman, you'll be divorced from me today and we'll be married again tomorrow? That's the get I'm giving you. So we conclude that's no good. Why? Because once the get is effective, it's completely effective. You can't do anything like that. Kevin de posko, posko. Once it's chal, that's what it means. To be chal means irrevocably chal.
That would be Rebbe Zara's problem.
That even according to the they want to say even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it would be even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be no good. Take a quick look at that Gemara. Bo minei Rav Meir of Nachman. At the bottom of it really starts at the bottom of Pagan on the base. Just a few lines. So then his problem is he has to work out why his answer is not a problem with that Gemara. But it comes out, by the way, it comes out in the Shulchan Aruch, although we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, so you can't make a get like this, but you could give a matana like this. And it comes out, it's brought down in the tour, that it would be a similar kind of a thing. If a person gave, if I gave you a present, I said, this is yours to keep on the condition, it's nice to come before the Maiso, on the condition that, what? That you don't sell it to Ben. I'm going to give this to you for to keep. This will be a matana gemura, almanas, or whatever, almanas, we'll say, because it's the mafreya, that you don't sell it to Ben. Now think that through. Can you sell it to Ben? Same problem. If you sell it to Ben, you don't have the authority to sell it to Ben. So the same machlokas, the Ramban would say there too, that if you try to sell it to Ben, it'll be bottle. Because that's all I could have meant. All I could have meant was don't try, don't do a maisa of kinyan to Ben. Strange, right? And Tosus would say that action would do nothing. Because you didn't do anything. How would he hold? I mean, he would have to say the whole tonight is bottle. Right? Cause,
until he dies.
Well, I don't know if death would help anybody in this case.
Yeah.
I have to check that one again. But